Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check it out at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, check it out if you haven't been over there. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar. Shares a wall with Cha Cha Chow. Come get some tacos, some drinks, and hang out and listen to one of your favorite bands in the studio recording. It's really unique and something super special for St. Louis. So get out and support them. Check it all out. GaslightSTL.com. A lot of fun events coming up, including on Thursday, the 27th of April. There's Unplugged by Jack over there at Gaslight, including Emily Wallace, Hillary Fitz, and Irene Allen. So it's a free event. Register online for your spot today. And Sweet Talker will be in the studio May 7th. So come by, check that out. Everything else, full listing events at GaslightSTL.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Are we ready? Oh, we're ready. All right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. We're listening to Rock Paper Podcast, and this is Mark and Sean and AJ, three-fourths of the band, with No Wake.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out this evening in beautiful Troy, Missouri, in the Denny's with the guys of No Wake.
That's right. What's folks up? How's it going?
Welcome,
ladies and gentlemen,
to the show.
No Wake.
Shut up down there.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys coming out here, meeting me. I know we've it's kind of been a while in the making, trying to figure out a good spot and make it all work out and things.
You can't beat the pancakes here.
Yeah, for sure. We figured
it's all about the pancakes.
Let's meet at Denny's to get some pancakes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And here we are.
It's like Supercross. St. Louis is all about the dirt. Troy's all about the pancakes and Denny's.
That's not mine. I had a spin of mine.
Don't click your cups, Dan.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
That's mine.
Getting some refills going here.
Yeah, don't lick my coffee cup, AJ.
Evidently, we got a few people not wanting their coffee cups in there.
It's going to be fresh, okay? So be careful.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Whose cup is it?
Thank you.
Thank you.
But coffee. Yeah.
Uncle Shane.
Java.
Back to business.
Well, like I was saying, this is exciting for me to get to discover some new music and meet you guys.
Yes.
And get to hang and talk about this brand new record we got out now.
Yes.
Coming out soon.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I mean, like I said, this show is a great excuse for me to constantly be, like, discovering new music all around our state, even. I mean, I've been as far south, like, Cuba, Missouri. I've been over in, like, Carrollton, Illinois, up north. I've been Columbia, Missouri. I've been all over the place hanging out with bands. And so I appreciate you guys, like I said, taking time out to hang in tonight. But, yeah, like I said, I don't really know much about No Wake. Where's all this get started for you guys?
Well,
originals.
Yeah. Before we get going, how about we all go around the mic and introduce ourselves so people know our voices.
I'm AJ, the drummer.
That was AJ, the drummer. This is Sean, the guitar player.
All right, folks, this is Mark. I am your lead vocals, actually, right now. Pretty much the only vocals, but that is Mark. Kind of like your bus driver, maybe, when we're on stage.
He's not really on the radio, folks.
Don't believe he's got the radio voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Oh, there it is.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Well, what do you need? Sugar?
Yeah. So
you the pink stuff?
Those two guys are the originals. They're
okay,
original
guys.
Okay,
yeah. AJ, go ahead and take them down. Take them down memory lane.
I came in a little bit later. Been 7 years for me, but we've been around for a while.
I was asking you what year that was.
10 years.
07.
Remember.
07, this band started.
When did we get started?
Oh, me and you. AJ and I started a band.
Well,
we were in a band freshman year of high school called Audio Aphrodisiac.
Yes.
Where all the guitar spots were taken, so I was the bass player. Yeah, not that all bass players by default become bass players, but that's what was my story. I'm sticking to it.
It's a good story.
Anyway, we jammed a lot of Nirvana and Silverchair back in the day. That was where we were at.
High school talent shows. Yeah. That's basically all we did.
Yeah. We were all terrible, so it took us like a year to get Smells Like Teen Spirit ready.
Yeah.
So. That was back in the old days. I graduated at 04.
05.
You graduated at 05, yeah. So.
I graduated 1988.
You didn't have to tell him, Mark. You didn't have to tell him. Let's just add like a 10 years on. Let's call it 98.
You were 31.
You could act like you're 31.
I'm good. I got energy.
So AJ and I, we come back from representing the rhythm section. I think that's kind of the vein we tap into live now. When anything chaotic goes on stage, where you get those moments where you're like, don't know what's going on, him and I always find that groove and bring everything back or whatever. We don't have to, it's like the cues that we don't even, the nonverbal
anything,
stuff.
I'm like, Sean, what's your fingers doing?
Yeah.
Where are you at?
So I may not be the bass player anymore, but he definitely, me and him get it on a certain level there as far as live, you know.
Sure.
So, and we write music and stuff. I'd say, hey, I'm thinking this, you're thinking that. It's just, ever since those days, that's where it came from.
Yeah.
But this band, it was 07. We started in Awake in 07. Yeah.
I came in 2010, so you guys went through. How many singers?
Is it your,
Mark, I came in 2010.
Mark is our third singer and our longest tenured singer.
Oh my goodness, I'm still here.
And I've made a declaration, if Mark ever quits, this band is over, because we can't afford to keep the same name and change the singer. Just, I can't do it.
Right, new material, and more and more.
But in 07, I had remodeled this spare bedroom in my house with a bunch of like nasty carpet hanging on the ceiling.
Like
on the
classic ceiling, rock band start.
All kinds of sweet posters and stuff, which is what the most important part of soundproofing a room is, make sure your Led Zeppelin posters in the right
like
spot.
Tenacious D's bedroom.
Just exactly like that. Exactly. I bought as many pieces of foam board from Lowe's as I could afford, which was about three. And then I got old carpet for the rest of the room, and it looked kind of like a place you'd find a dead body. But anyway, it was cool. Wood paneling when we first started.
Didn't
we find
a dead body there once?
I don't think so. No, not that house.
It smelled
it was
like
the other
when
house.
We first bought it.
But no, AJ and I, we set up the room with, I played drums too at the time, and he had his drum set across from me, so we'd do like just random jamming and stuff. And then I had a Gibson Les Paul, a studio model that I'd loved since high school. And so we just started deciding to jam. We're like, we're going to make a band.
Let's get into that story. No, I'm just kidding.
What's that?
It's a Les Paul.
The Les Paul? Oh, I could go on for
you
hours.
Want it on eBay.
I want a really, I got a really good deal on a Les Paul. But anyway, the two of us, we started jamming, and we were like, we want to make a band. We want to start a band, because we've been in, what, two bands prior to that, officially.
Officially.
And so we knew we wanted to write some music, but we were like, we weren't in a big hurry to fill the band with a bunch of members. We wanted to make sure we had the right mix and all that stuff, like everybody starts out as. But so we jammed some music and got some good jams down, and then we added his brother, Michael. We called him Pickle.
Pickle.
His nickname was Pickle. Pickle jumped in the band. He was like a default bassist for us because he just knew what you were getting with Pickle, and he was family, so you threw him in the band, and he was ready to roll. And we had a guy named Seth do our lead vocals and a lot of the lead guitar work as well.
Yeah.
We were kind of heading down like a metal road, just by the way the lead singer was... He was that way. So we were heading this kind of one path.
Screamer.
Yeah, had some scream to it. Had some, I tried to do a balance of
henceforth, I'm not a screamer.
Screaming and singing. And
stop with the big words.
Yeah, we did 1 year of that. 1 year of No Wake was a metal band. And then after that, well, we, Seth had left for a different band at that point. And we went, we decided for venue friendliness, we decided let's go more rock. We can keep our metal vein as far as writing goes and stuff like that. But we need to find a singer that can just keep us in that realm, because we wanted to be in. We
knew a lot of bar shows.
A lot of bars, book rock bands, not very many bars, book metal bands. And so we were like, let's do something friendly on the pocketbook. And so we made that move. Got a guy named Michael to hop in and do vocals until he jumped in 2010. So I guess that'd be two solid years of Michael singing. Somewhere along the line, we gained Ben and Alan for a while.
You had
Lost
Ben,
Pickle.
You got Ben about 2 or 3 months prior to me, and Alan and I both started the same time in 2010. First show, May 22nd.
There you go. You remember the date.
Yes, I
remember
do.
The date. Yeah, I'm terrible at
first show with No Wake. Or, like I like to think, No Wake, because we're after the No Wake Indians.
Oh, my God.
There's no...
That's
no,
an Alice Cooper, you know, with the Milwaukee.
There's really no...
If you've watched Wayne's World, you know what he's talking
Wayne's
about.
World, that's right.
Yeah.
You didn't even know what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so me and Alan actually started the same time.
So we had already had that foundation, that groundwork for like pulling those 4-hour bar shows where they book you for decent money, but they're killer on your singer and you sing 4 hours all night, you know, and bar times, you're playing till 1:15 in the morning or whatever. It's just like it just drags on. And we were making good money, but it was hard on a vocalist, and he ended up separating with us at that time. And then it's when Mark jumped in, I said, hey man, you ever thought about being a singer? He'd never been in a band before in his life.
We ran into Lowe's, man.
Yeah. I mean, we're cousins, but I never come up and said, hey, you want to sing in a band, because you never had any interest. What's that?
I wouldn't admit that.
Right.
Just to reverse, I sang weddings for 23
yeah.
years.
Weddings.
He wedding was the wedding singer. Singer. Yeah.
I was a performer at the Molly Brown Dinner Theater, similar to what you would see at Six Flags. So when you went to Six Flags yep. and seen those shows, those yeah. are the shows I did for 6 years.
Yeah. yeah. He was the guy that serenaded many, many people for weddings.
Oh, Lord. 23 years worth of weddings all around, even in St. Louis.
It took him a while to get into the rock phase.
Right. But like that day at Lowe's.
Now, man, I'm a... Listen to I it. Love my That's Southern rock.
But that day at Lowe's, I said, hey, you ever thought about it? And you were like, no, never have. And next thing you know, he auditioned. We had another guy audition at the same time. We ended up going with Mark. I would say the rest is history, but that's pretty cliche. He, you know, he found his groove somewhere along the line. We started writing new material because he was playing the stuff we had written with the previous singer. And then we came out with our first studio album in 14. After a lot of bar gigs, saving up the money, we went to the Copper Mine in Quincy, Illinois, historic recording studio with Alan Lawless. Had an awesome experience
cold.
Up there. It was cold. It was January. I had no heat. So you could see your breath, and my fingers worked about as slow as you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And we had a good experience there. It got us through our first studio album.
It was very exciting.
The whiskey was flowing that night.
The whiskey was flowing.
You had to keep blood flow or else
yeah, the beer
everything
was
else gave.
The whiskey was flowing, and I tell you what, at the end of the day, we had a lot of fun. Correct?
Yeah. yeah. And it was a really good... We'd done like... Hey, man, I got an interface, plug in this, we'll try and make our own album. We made like a demo or two, and it was just those god-awful demos that you're like...
Oh, man.
You know, I'm sure you hear a lot of them. You're like, I wouldn't
we're
release
proud
that.
Of them, but
yeah,
that
we
guy
were proud
hates
for
it.
About an hour, and you're like, oh, this is not that good,
Terrible.
You know? So that's when we decided to finally pony up and go up to the Copper Mine, where a lot of our other local bands from Quincy and Hannibal area...
Freed On Hour was
yeah,
a big...
Freed On Hour, George Gates, all his bands had always gone to the Copper Mine. And so we knew we needed to get there, and so we saved up our pennies and finally got there.
Good stone, good place to be.
Had good stories, a lot of history in the walls there. I mean, there's a Spinal Tap poster in the room where you record guitar. So it's just like in like this old school Marshall JCM 800 with this awesome old school Marshall 412. And he's like, "You want to use this, or do you want to use what you brought?" And I'm like, "That's awesome." I was like, "Yeah, I want to use that, but I gotta lean on what I know, you know." So we found a way to link up his cab at least into ours, and we recorded with it. But the history in that place was cool. So the first album was called Getaway. It's available on iTunes and all those places now.
There's one copy left, one hard copy left in Amazon Warehouse.
Yeah, Amazon Warehouse requires you send so many copies to some warehouse
wow.
in San
Bernardino,
or I don't know where it's at. But anyway, I think it shows two copies left.
Two.
Yeah, there's two hard copies of that album. Everything
probably
else is
like floating around my house somewhere.
Probably. That's where they all
went. I have one copy.
I just told them at home.
I have none. So anyway, that album Getaway was a really good experience for us to just blast them everywhere. All the venues we've been dying to get into, and we were just the Hannibal band that played the 4-hour bar gigs. We were trying to get out with original music, and there's a hard barrier there to cross.
What's funny about that is, though, that song Getaway, which was our title track,
yeah.
one of the guys walked up to me and was like, "Hey, I like that song. Where can I get that at?" What song? Which one? Because we were still doing our album and some covers. We did a show for 4th of July, and he's like, "That last one y'all did." I'm like, "Well, Getaway, that's ours." "Well, I know, but whose is it?" I said, "Well, that's ours." "Well, I want to download it." He's like, "I want to know who originally sings it so I can download it." And I go, "Again, that's our album.
We wrote it.
We wrote it. I can fix you up."
Yeah.
So that was like really cool that somebody didn't even know that, you know, they assumed that you were just playing somebody else's music.
Yeah.
Yet they wanted to know where they could download it so they could buy
and
it
proved we had the ability to write something with a hook, you know, because people were wanting to, you know, work out to it, put on their iPad or iPod or whatever, and run with it. So it was kind of nice to know that people kind of wanted to hear stuff.
Sure. People ride motorcycles. I got somebody that's like, "Oh man, I got to do the Hailstorm thing on their Harley."
Yeah,
and
that,
I'm like,
"That was kind of the
I
heavy
always
track.
Listen to that when I'm like, yep. Okay, right on, man. Rock and roll."
Yep.
Well, that's
hard
like
driving.
I mean, that's really like how it should be, though. Like the covers that you play. Should you know, or you know, like you throw them in there, and then people are like, "Oh yeah, that's a fun song." And then the next one you hit them with,
yep.
you're like, "Hey, this is ours." And like they realize, like, "Oh shit, they all sound good. They all, you know, they all go together. They can,
yep.
you know." And that's something I don't know what it is, but yes, people like to hear those covers, and it makes them realize that the other stuff's just as good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, I don't know what it is, but there's something about that. Like
I completely agree. And that was for us.
Breaking like a mental addiction.
Breaking that mold of just being able to play the Quincy Hannibal region and trying to get down. Because we'd always heard for years that you play by the rules when you go to Columbia, St. Louis, they're an original market. You know, you play your hometowns, everybody there wants to hear, you know, Hard to Handle by the Black Crowes all night. You know, they want to hear that stuff because they know it and they can sing. You always knew you could inject a few originals and then you start getting people saying, "Hey, who writes that song?
Yeah.
I want to hear it." And then now somewhere along the line we've finally been able to flip the switch. We've got, you know, quite a few original songs, so we go play these places in Columbia and St. Louis, everywhere else, and you are able to throw one cover in that kind of matches everything, whether it's old school, kind of redone.
45 minutes to an hour, and yeah, we're playing all of our music but like two.
Yeah, and we don't have to. It's just because
ours,
we know
we end with ours, and in the middle we throw a few, maybe a Lynyrd Skynyrd or maybe a whatever.
Yeah,
and people are like,
throw something in there that's kind of redone. It's heavy and it matches our music. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, I really like what you did with that song.
Similar to some of the other bands that we've played with that are out touring. Yeah. You know, they still throw in a few covers.
Somewhere along the line, a buddy of ours, Chris Smith, had challenged us. He said, I think you ought to play a long-haired country boy. And I thought he was joking because he said, hey, we weren't a country band. We struggle with a few country covers because we're from Hannibal, Hicktown, Missouri sometimes.
And all my long, flowing hair.
That was the joke. It's like, man, our singer has not a strand of hair. Why would we do? And it was just funny. It's like, you know what? Challenge accepted. So we learned it, and we made it about as bludgeoningly heavily as we could possibly do it. And without screaming and all that, we just kept it rock-based. Right. We kept it rock-based. But it's heavy, and so like people were like, they hear the song, and it was like, They didn't even know we were into verse one of Long Ear Country Winter. Like, you start seeing people pop up, and they're looking. Okay, all right.
And then you see horns go up.
And the next thing you know, the horns come up, and they're up there singing along with you in the chorus, and you're like, that's cool.
They're just rocking
you
can and rolling.
Pull somebody into a song that like they did not expect that coming from us. And so that's somewhere along the way we were able to flip that switch. We were original heavy with a few covers, and that's where we, like, our ideal spot. You know, jump on a show where we're playing an hour set with three other great bands versus playing all 4 hours yourself, make more money, but you're beat to death the next day, you know?
Yeah.
We're out of those days.
It's a lot more fun to play with other bands because of the camaraderie ship that you build with these other local bands, and pretty soon, you're just, hey, we're going to be rolling through town, you guys got a little spot for us,
And then they return a favor, you know?
They return a favor.
Mm-hmm.
I do love some of that, like when a band, you know, totally flips a song, something like that, and they're up there, like, getting into it, and you're like, it takes you a second, like, you're listening, like, to the first verse, and you're like, and then it gets to the chorus, and you're like, oh, yeah, there it is, like, and now I recognize the song, you know, it's like, but it's like, takes a second, because it's completely different than you're used to it, so, but, but that's always a fun feeling, though.
Yep.
But, and there's these guys, I'll have to play it for you later, but one of my favorites, they were, group, I think they were out of Illinois, but they do this cover of Lynyrd Skynyrd's Right or Wrong, and just like real heavy, and it's just like, man, it's powerful stuff what they did to it, and like it's really, really cool, man. And their name is escaping my memory.
They're right listening,
the
going,
yeah, right.
Come on!
Well, they
thought we were friends. He's gonna get there.
They have since disbanded, but it's a killer tune. But anyway, but yeah, I'd love to hear that Long Haired Country Boy sometime.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah,
but we got, like I said, we kind of we're talking about the first record, but this is the second one now.
Second album.
So we got a brand new material. This is six tracks.
Six seems to be the magic number for us. Time to dish out an album, you know.
So yeah.
We've got other originals that never made the cut on the first album, and we got some stuff that would never made the cut on this album, but we're proud of what came out in every aspect of this album.
Reworking.
We got a good buddy of ours named Scott Donegan, and he's got an in-home studio. He's calling it Sonic Occurrence Studio. And he said, hey man, come be a guinea pig, let me try all the stuff I've been testing and playing on for years. His band Flatfoot Reed, that he was previously in, they recorded their first album and most of the second album that never did release, and they were doing Battle for Point Fest, and they were doing some big events in St. Louis more and more. But anyway, he was really, really honing in the skill of how to record a good sounding album without having a $30,000 studio in your house. And he worked magic. We went into his house. We recorded us live, each song we went on the album, so he could at least get into his head, what am I doing here? You know, what am I going to do with this album? And then he took it and made cue notes and ran with all the backing stuff that he could put in there to kind of help us along during the recording. And next thing you know, he had us coming in there, and it was a matter of, hey man, and it was awesome. Instead of having to spend an entire evening, you know, every single night of the week or whatever, up at a studio all together spending all this time, we got a chance to go in one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One at a time, and lay down each one of our tracks and just being played back into our ear. Doing the small... now we're going, live? No, just recording. Okay.
Snapchat.
Mark's got his camera. So anyway, Scott was able to take us and just make it even more of a home, like the comfort of home. Like you sit down, you know, on a couch, we're sitting there discussing stuff. Next thing you know, he builds a isolation booth out of makeshift ice. Well, that's not, I don't know what it is. He's homemade these isolation booth materials. He can stack one up tall for a guy to stand in a studio. He can make them small to encapsulate your cab.
It's like a cubicle.
Yeah, basically just cubicle. And so he had me pop these headphones on. He said, "All right, here's, you know, here's your click track, your metronome start. Here's what you're going to hear in the background," and we roll with it. And next thing you know, this whole thing just, you know, 2 hours here, 3 hours here, and we had an album. And it was unbelievably easy. He made it. We'd sit there and talk on Facebook Messenger openly about, hey, he'd release us a little clip of a song. What do you guys think about this as far as volume level and this? We'd go back and forth. He'd re-release them on, like, a SoundCloud private account. Next thing you know, he'd come back, and I'd say we started, what, maybe January. And by literally the end of February, just, I mean, couple hours a week literally is all we were putting into it, and he was spending a lot more time than that,
yeah,
editing, re-listening to it, thinking outside the box, stuff we hadn't even thought of on it, you know, but yet still keeping us what we do, you know what I mean. And next thing, we had this album done. I couldn't believe how easy it was for us.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, on his end, he's got tons of hours and a lot of you know, time spent on it, which
he
it
did
shows.
A great job on it. Not to mention the first album, this second one here, I believe he captured our energy. Our first album, yeah, oh man, that's us playing, that's cool, it's cool. And even when he came and saw us live, our first song that we ever played off this new album, we played the State Room in Quincy, and I don't remember what song it was.
It was Incipient. It was Incipient because everybody were like, that should be on the radio right now,
yeah,
because
yeah,
of the power. It's in the wheelhouse.
Like,
it's
your first album. Didn't capture the energy that you just had on stage right now, and that's what I believe
the powerfulness of that song
is taking what we want to have our music to sound like, not what some guy behind a glass booth is saying, "Hey, you need to do this, not that."
And of course, you know, it helps. He's in a band. It,
yeah,
you know, he yep, he's there watching
every
us live.
We're
playing with their
every
band.
Little move that he did, he would say, "Is that good? Do I need to move it?"
Yeah,
I'm like, bro.
Yeah,
that's good yep, with me.
And he got into, like, you know, left, not just like left and right panning. It's like simple, like what I would consider simple, like stuff to do on an album. He would find where all the sonic frequencies were and what he needed to do and how. I mean,
he
did his homework. I mean, and yeah, so like I think we got the absolute best album we could have gotten at this time in our musical careers, if you will.
Yeah,
well, just like
I'm just proud of it.
The first take, I'm like, who's singing with me?
Yeah. He took his own harmonies. He had him come in and
lay down three different. I mean, I would sing three different times, and we'd record at three different levels and different things. And next thing I know, I'm like hearing this playback of our new song on track six. You know, it's gone. By the way, hashtag gone. But no,
it's
I'm sitting there going
pound sign.
Tick, tick,
you call it whatever you want, man. Here's the deal. Here's the reality of this whole situation. Okay,
hippie.
I'm sitting there going.
Yeah.
I look at Sean and I go, "Who's singing?"
We
with
figured
me?
Our
I said,
"We
is
figured
Scott singing with me in the background."
Yeah. Like yourself,
no, and I figured it was Ben, our bass player, because he's got the ability to sing harmony parts and stuff like
yeah,
that.
No, it's
and
me singing with myself.
I even thought it was. I didn't. That's why I was like, "Oh, it must be Ben." Like, and then Scott looked
I
at it.
So
like, I pulled his own harmony lines out of what he was giving me, and I was able to isolate certain parts and.
Thing I've had to do is walk away from you, but I know it won't be long till I'm back where I belong. You're on my mind when I'm gone. All I ask is that you leave the light on. Now I'm back where I belong. all I need is your touch. Now I'm back where I belong. Been gone away too long. Pictures can only do so much. What I need is your
using a bunch of like auto-tune crap, he was able to like capture Mark's actual vocals, use them with each other, and I was like, that blew my mind.
He asked me, he goes, do you want to change something on this next take? And I'm like, well, all right. I said, I might sing it this way. And I'm like, hell, I'm just going to sing it differently like a few times, and you are the engineer. You pick out what you want. You pick out what you like.
And
so there's different parts of it.
This isn't my album. It's yours.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's your hearing. It's your abilities to connect with the audience, because we sing it and we put it together, and the whole product, the whole album is not an album for money. It's our soul. It's our life experiences that have been put into this. It's what we're into at this time, and hopefully other people can connect and feel that the energy and the soul that we have in this album. So we want that to be relayed through our album, so that when you're listening to it on your headphones or in the car and you're rocking out to it or whatever, you can connect with it because it's there. Maybe it's part of a life that you're going through right now, whether it be you're just running the hell out of your car at 100 miles an hour down the road hoping you get pulled over with red line or dealing with some things in your life that you're hoping that this might reawake something and save your life to a degree.
down shit. Living on a prayer and a wish. Wide open road ahead. You can sleep when you're dead. To be passed. The Panama to that red line. Pushing faster. Well, you've got to make time. You're pure electric. Banging curves electric. Drifting through this life. Well, I'm running all the strife. Refusing to be fast. Pay no mind to that red line. Pushing faster. You got to make time. You're living way too fast. Refusing to be fast. Pay no mind to that red line. Pushing faster. Time. How many times must you be told? Refusing to get old. Spilling tires, your calling card. You leave everyone charred. Pushing faster, you've got to make time. You're ripping way too fast. Refusing to be fast. The pale mind to that red line. Pushing faster, you've got to make time.
Speaking of that, I definitely can relate to Redline. Because not necessarily the racing 100 miles an hour in a car type of, but just in my personal life. Like, I feel like I work two jobs, I do this show, and everything. I'm just years ago when I started the show, I spoke to Devin Allman, and we were talking, and he asked him, his manager at the about like, what's some good advice you would give a singer-songwriter looking out there to, you know, get started, and she told him, just don't stop, like, just, you know, keep going, because as soon as you slow down, the next person who's hungry for it's going to pass you up.
Yep.
And so I kind of took that same mentality with when I started doing the podcast by myself. I'm like, I'm just going to keep the foot on the gas.
Awesome.
And keep, you know, keep going. And that's, I mean, that's some of the lyrics almost in Redline.
That's
where,
awesome. Yeah.
Where, you know, it's living too fast. You're going to get passed or whatever. Or
yeah.
Something like that. Whatever. I was exact lyrics. But anyway, but I related that message in a song a big time. So
right on.
Living on a wing and a prayer.
Yeah, man.
You can take any of the lyrics that we have and take it to your own meaning.
Sure.
Like, you know, I listen to them and I'm like, man, to me this means this, but to him it may mean something totally different. And that's what we want. We want each person that listens to any of those songs to make a personal connection to any of our music in their own way. It doesn't have to mean what we mean it.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, how they take it.
Hey, you looking for some new music? Come check out Music Record Shop in the Dot Zack building in St. Louis, Missouri. Or shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're always giving away free tickets or records and all kinds of things, so it pays to support. New records in every Friday, and including this Friday, they'll have records from Gorillaz, J. Cole, U2, Taking Back Sunday, and more. Follow the list if you want to see some more at musicrecordshop.com. And there's always fun live in stores and all kinds of other things, so keep an eye out for more events coming up. And also they have a great local selection, so if you have heard some bands on the show, you want to check them out, go over there, take a look at their local selection. Or if you have a record yourself that you'd like to get on the shelf, see about how you can make that happen. musicrecordshop.com.
But you know, I love Shinedown. That band has so many cool influences, and you guys have fortunately been enough to see them yet. And you've seen them in person. I have not yet. One day, in my old age, I'm going to get to see them. But I can relate to a lot of their music, you know. But what I think is really cool is when the band tells their audiences and they tell the story. This is why we did this song. This is where this song came from. Mm-hmm. You can just, bam. It's not. It's not a song anymore.
It already meant something to you, but now it means even more.
You've given this passage. You've given this message, and on a good day, bad day, whatever. Like I said, bam. They're like, man, I'm just going to listen to this because this is either going to make me happy or, man, I can connect with this. I'm feeling really like, oh yeah, this is why I'm not going to do something stupid. And I'm going to live.
And, you know, you talk about that. I just prepared an interview of sorts with Andy Lyons, who runs the Central Mo News. He does a feature spot on up-and-coming bands and things like that. And he agreed to do one for us. He said, here's what I need, kind of a layout. He said, I need to know each song, give me a little blurb about what it's about, you know, whatever. And so I always kind of stammer before I start to say anything because you know, it's hard to believe because I talk a lot. I know.
No way.
Bombshell. Anyway, but I always hold off because it's like I want to have people have a chance to know, listen to it, like you said, form your own. Man, that, to me, this hits me like that.
Right.
You know, that red line might have hit you completely, different to everybody at this table. But he was asking for it, and so I'll go ahead and work through it. And so some of them, you know, they're great stories, they're great ideas of what I was going through when I wrote it, or what me and Mark sat down and said, okay, here's our direction, or whatever, you know, the situation might be on this
song. We have a whiteboard. We like our whiteboard.
We got a dry erase board. We got ideas that don't mean anything to anybody, and a lot of papers that are just flying around the room of, they might, like when I worked at my previous job, I was working for a pest control company for a lot of years. I was on the road in a truck by myself, and I would be listening to music all day. That would get me to and from everywhere. You know, I'd leave before the sun came up, back after the sun, sit down already. So I'd have literally like napkins from restaurants. I'd have all that just classic stuff, and just a pile of crap.
It
might even be three lines.
My wife and kids love that. They make fun of me because I hear something in my head, and I like stick the phone over here, and
I do the same thing. I have voices in his head.
I thought my click tracks but
like,
in my head.
Like on Getaway, a lot of the songs were started out as pieces of paper. I run back to the truck after I do something, scramble to write something down, and if I wouldn't lose it, I would get back and write a song about it if I could. Or Face Down I can literally remember my last few months of that job, writing Face Down, sitting near a...
Hoping you'd get that phone call.
Sitting near some kind of like gas fill station or something north of Kirksville, sitting there writing down these lyrics as they're just coming to me, and I'm like, and sitting in a blank... Chevy Colorado, just writing like an idiot. Maybe could knock on the window to scare me to death.
Look
out, my
bug
zone,
company's going to want their money back because you were sloughed up on the job.
Tell them. That was my job to make sure. Anyway, I can't. Anyway, that's a previous life.
You can't talk about it.
But anyway, like for Redline, I was training for a 10K last year. I was running down Highway 79 in Hannibal. Speaking of Redline and running too fast, there goes the cops. Welcome to Troy, Missouri. Anyway, I was running down Highway 79 and two cars flew by. And of course, when you're running, everybody going just the speed limit feels like they're blowing past you because it's not the greatest spot to run, but it's where the 10K, the Hannibal Cannibal 10K route is. So anyway, I was training there, and these two cars go flying by, and it just started in motion a bunch of ideas of people in my life that I know have always known. Whether it was my brother or whether it was friends or family or members, friends or whatever, that just it may not have had to have been a 78 Camaro. It might have been your Buick LeSabre that you ran way too fast, and you're lucky you survived those years. But like, I started thinking about I started thinking about those times that you're like, when you got that person in your life that pushes the limit and, you know, is constantly just redlined it. And I mean, it's like, that's where it all came from. So literally, I'm trying to run because I can't stop. I got my GPS gun on my phone. And if you stop, it shows that you stopped. I'm like, I got to keep going. So I'm like, while running, I'm trying to like use my armband. I stop my Pandora feed. I hit record and I'm like recording myself through this like terrible breathing pattern. I'm like, you know, I'm saying lines to that end up being redline, you know, and I get back and I'm like playing them back and I'm like, that doesn't even rhyme. What did that mean?
You know, like, gets a call of a crazy guy.
Crazy guy talking to himself out in the middle of nowhere, literally. So anyway, that's redline literally just started that way. And like, I just have known people that push the envelope constantly. And it's like, that's how they live. You know what I mean? And like, it hit me. I'm like, that's a really cool way. I didn't want to like be against it or for it. I was just like, that's a cool way to focus on somebody who is that way. And like I said, for that particular interview for Central Illinois News, I sat down and finally made myself think about where they all came from. And that was kind of neat to come from. Because when you write them, a lot of times, I'll sit there and come back and think about it. Is it milkshake time?
You want a milkshake?
Anyway.
Milkshake time at the Denny's.
Milkshake time at Denny's.
They're all like,
who ordered that milkshake?
Make some noise.
Anyway. Yep. So I'm glad to hear, you know, personally, just how Redline maybe, you know, meant something to you.
Awesome.
Cool. That's what we do it for. I mean, we do it for a hobby,
that makes
us
happy.
Love it. But sure. Like what AJ said, but that's who we ride them for, is people who come up to us. Like, you know, after a set, a lot of times we'll finish a set, whether we're playing FUBAR, Cicero's, whatever, in these bigger cities that we don't always hit. And next thing you know,
the Edward Jones Dome.
Yeah. Hey, no. Sky's the limit.
No.
But, you know, after our set, you know, I'll hop on the mic and say, hey, feel free to catch us at our merch table afterwards. You know, let's talk. And we'll get a few people to come up every now and then. It's like, hey, man, what's that one song about? Well, you know, if I ask you, well, hey, Sean wrote that. And I'll send it my way or whatever. You know, hey, can I sell you a shirt while we're talking? But at the end of it, you know, it's like, hey, man, I'll tell you about it. Oh, man. I was thinking this, and it's like, that's cool to get another angle. I'm just like, you keep running with that. That's sure. Awesome. You know, it means something to you. Download the song, play it, crank it up for us. That's awesome. That's payoff for us.
Well, you can, starting on April 28th, right? You can get online on iTunes and
pre-buy.
That's where our pre-sale starts.
Pre-sale. Yeah. Pre-order the record. And then on the official release will be
Cinco de Mayo.
May 5th. Cinco de Mayo.
See you, little gringos.
Cinco de Noake.
And the
5th of May.
The record is titled Act of Defiance.
Of Defiance, yeah.
Yeah, so all that, you can get your copy ahead of time. But the big party, we got a big release party on May 13th over at Mark Twain Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
Cool place.
Yeah.
That won't be Cinco de Mayo.
No, that's Cinco de whatever, 13-0. I don't know. I'm not very good at Spanish. I took French in high school. What a waste.
No, really excited about
anyway.
About that,
yeah.
That party. It's going to be
a good time.
Good time. Yeah. Good time.
Yep. It's free.
It's free.
Ladies
show.
And gentlemen, it's free. That's right. F-R-E-E, free.
That's how basically spell free.
We're live right here.
F-R-E-A.
At the Denny's to tell you guys, it is free.
Yeah, so we got two bands along with us at the May 13th show for the CD release party. We've got Capiche is a up-and-coming band out of Quincy, Illinois. A couple of Hannibal guys. They've been in bands that have played alongside us for years, and they've just finally kind of put the super group together. They play a lot of... I mean, they play anything they want to play. I mean, it might be Rage Against the Machine 1 minute. It might be... God knows what next.
Garth Brooks.
You don't know what you're going to get. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard rock, guaranteed.
Cool guys.
Yeah,
cool guys,
a bunch of good guys. Danny Mabee, the drummer of... always been at all what that guy can do on the skins.
He's even played with us before.
Yeah, he stepped in one time when AJ couldn't make it to a show.
How many times has AJ not made it to the store?
He went to Alter Bridge and left us hanging. But,
it ain't the first time.
No,
I stepped in
and played drums once for us back when we had a guitar
time,
player.
Next time, I'm going to have to step in and do the drums, and you ain't going to like it.
That will also be the last time we ever play because he can't play the drums.
I don't know how to play the drums.
That didn't stop him from trying, though.
That time, I think I would have let it go to Graceland or something.
Oh, who knows? Elvis Presley trumped our band.
Elvis's house.
But anyway, yeah, Danny's groups, anytime he's in a band, it's top-notch. So Capiche will be there. We also have Dark Below, which I've just started listening to these guys. Josh out of Perry is where I think he's his hometown or where he's from. Got a chance to listen to them and looked them up and said, hey, man, would you guys want to start some shows?
Como.
Yeah, they're big in Colombia now. They're up and coming.
All the cool kids call it Como.
Como is where, hashtag Como.
That's a pound sign.
Don't spell it with an H. It's a completely different hashtag. But anyway. Yeah. So anyway, to Dark Below will be there too. And those two bands are going to obviously kick the night off awesome. And then we're going to go up there, just have a party, have fun. AJ's already got grand scheme of how we're going to roll out.
I'm going to overproduce the
overproduce the night. You know,
I haven't even talked to anybody about it except for
tell
Sean.
Me you're not going to burn it down because, you know, I'm
there
just
going to
say.
We're off duty. We're good.
Oh, yeah, but
just because we're firefighters.
When do we have to go back?
Down.
The next day?
The very next day, I think.
Good. Yeah. I'm going to have to investigate it. I'm good. I didn't hear nothing. Don't know nothing.
I didn't hear nothing. Then nothing. Now when it actually does, be like, well, I know who did it.
I didn't hear nothing.
So anyway, that place is awesome. I don't know if you've ever ventured up to Hannibal for any live shows, but the Mark Twain Brewing Company, they've got a second floor area. A separate bar. You can get your drinks up there. You got a merch table area. They've got an awesome open area. Move tables around at will. Make it your own. It's a really cool venue. I can't say enough about them. And the management there lets you, like I said, they give you the ability to have a no cover charge show, which is a huge draw for people that don't know what they're doing that night. Yeah. You get the $5 show down the road or whatever's going on, and you get this free show with a bunch of rock bands. It's like, I know where I'd be. You know what I mean? So it's awesome that they give you that venue. And then they also pay out well to bands and stuff, which is a crazy talk nowadays because most places are making you pay to play there, and they're sitting there paying you, taking care of the artists and stuff still. So that venue, I can't say enough about that. And I honestly tip my hat to Paul Dewey. He's a man with the connection there for us, and he has given us the best place ever to release an album. And I can't think of anywhere better than our hometown of Hannibal.
That's right.
Last time we released the album, and we were playing in Center, Missouri, which is basically a four-way stop sign in the middle of, you know, in the middle
we
of Missouri.
We weren't really in the middle of the street.
Yeah, but we were literally just one, like less than a block
we
off.
We were in a bar the size of this booth.
Yeah, and that's just where we happened to be releasing the album at the same time, and like, well, we'll just roll with
but
it.
But it was fun.
Yeah, we had a killer time in a small venue, one of those where you had to unplug the microwave to plug in our bass cab, and then when we had to reheat some food in the middle of the night, they had to make our bass player stop, and it was
true story.
Priceless. I mean, that's the story stuff you don't think about until you're in a band playing in, you know, eating Central
chalupas.
Missouri, you know what I mean?
Eating chalupas?
I don't know about the chalupas.
On the road?
I think it was
taking water bottle showers.
Steak night? I don't know what it was.
Taking water bottle showers.
Chicken fried chicken. That was a special that night. I would hang my hat on that.
Oh, look at you.
That was Crossroads Bar and Grill.
It was the same night where we had to automatically come up with another hour because this old guy comes up and says, you guys done already? And we're like, yeah, the bar
we played 3 hours at that point.
He said, I'll give you $100 to play another hour.
Bam, like, we played.
If the owner says yes, we'll take your $100 and play.
She said, I don't care, let's do it.
And we went into that show. It was funny we're sitting there talking about that one specific show. But we went in with the mindset. They were like, this is going to be a country crowd. Keep
quiet.
It light. Get heavier towards the end of the night. And, you know, whatever, you start sitting at home on
Alice
that.
And Chains.
He came up and said, hey,
you know
any Tool, Alice and Chains. We're like, well, yes, we do. We didn't think of this. Then you wanted it. So next thing you know, we were playing Alice and Chains, Them Bones. In Central Missouri,
Godsmack.
On the night we released our first album. So yeah, so it was really cool, you know. But
good times.
Yeah, you never know what to expect.
And then we seen him again at another show.
Yeah, he found us again.
Yeah,
didn't pay us $100 the second time though.
No, he didn't.
No, we tried
out of
to
his
get
pocket.
It though.
We tried. Don't
you guys were good the first time.
Don't think we didn't when we did.
Huh? I don't know.
No, well, really excited about that party. Really excited.
I was thinking. We got another tune to talk about, track called Deviate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a, you guys also brought along a featured guest vocalist on that
track.
Yeah,
yes, we did. So.
Yep, I can definitely speak of our guest vocalist. It's a guy we've respected for a lot of years. He was lead singer in a band called Porcelain, called Salem's Cradle, called Pre-Dawn Hour. Their management made him change names several times, but those guys... Literally, when we were back in 07, me and AJ kicked off that first leg of what would be No Wake. We were metal. We had nobody knocking at the door saying, hey, play with us. But George Kate said, hey, man, we could use an opener here. Can you play an hour yet? Yeah, we can. Here's $100. Come open the show for us. And it was like the gateway to get us started in those live shows. And so we already respected the guy from all the musical talent and all the stuff we'd gone to see him play live in years over the years. And all the albums, I mean, own like 5 of their albums over the years. Loved every bit of what he was doing in that band, and next thing you know we had a chance to open for him and stuff, so he was just like that perfect stepping stone for us to launch the band. But anyway, so that's where our relationship with George started. It was just like nothing but just, you know, tipping our hat to the guy. And next thing you know, I thought, well, we'd always thought, man, wouldn't it be cool if we could do a track with him? He stepped in and sang with us when we were in between singers, right before Mark was able to join the band. Our previous singer, Michael, had left, and we had a show on the books, and we were like, man, what are we going to do? He learned all our original stuff, all the cover music.
It was cool.
He had giant cue cards and just stuff, just whatever to get him through the song, since he hadn't heard everything as much as we had. Hey, man, I know Silverchair's Tomorrow. Yeah, we know that one, too. And it was like, just throw it together, and it was a cool show at Southside Boat Club in Quincy, Illinois. Like, 10 bands played, and we were just like, man, what are we going to do? He stepped in, picked up the bass. Anyway, so George does an awesome job, anything vocally. So in the back of my mind, I was like, I want to have an album where I can have a guest spot for George. Where can it be? And so we were writing the music for this album. We'd hit highs and lows in our life, experienced death, and everything else had gone on while we were writing this album. And I said, we were running out of, because like I said, we knew we wanted six of our magic number, we wanted to make an album. We had one more spot left. And me and AJ actually come up with this really cool jam, and it was what would turn into this very aggressive staccato feel to this song. And I was like, oh, there's a hook, there's something there, we just don't have any lyrics to it. And we were sitting there struggling with it, knowing that we wanted it to, man, we can get in the studio as soon as we cap this last song off, and I didn't have any ideas. We had just this cool jam. And so next thing you know, I basically made Mark and I made us sit down and listen to a really low quality recording of me and AJ jamming this thing with Ben. And I said, Mark, let's sit down, here's what I'm thinking. And I gave you probably the worst handful of lyrics I'd ever given. And it was the least, it didn't make any sense. It was like forcing these words in. And so I just let Mark do surgery on it. And he cut and pasted, copied, added, took, subtracted. And next thing you know, he had lyrics.
And I can't even read.
I can't even read, he says. But like, he sat there in his corner while we jammed. Is there an arrest going on out here?
There is.
Oh, man. Troy, Missouri is wild tonight.
Woo, somebody got hooked up. They get put in the back of the car.
So we thought, this could be
true story.
This could be the album, or this could be the song on the album that I finally get a chance to bring George in on. I said, George has got that. He's got that raspy, grunge rock singer. And I was like, it's such a cool contrast to Mark. I want to utilize it somewhere. And so finally, I messaged him. I said, hey, man, I'm going to send you a real low-quality practice version of this song we're calling Deviant. I said, let me know if this is something. I'd love to have you sing, like, verse 2 and all the choruses with Mark. And he was listening to it once, and he was like, man, I totally get a feel of, like, 10 years and, like, some really cool rock bands. I see what you're trying to tap into there. I was like, yes, I hadn't realized it, but that's what I was going for on that song. I was like, cool, awesome. So he's like, absolutely honored to do it. I would love to be on it. You let me know place, time, and I'll get in there. And we were in the studio, literally recording vocals, and I said, hey, George, sorry we never had a chance to get a chance to jam this song with us. Can you come in and just lay down vocals on a song you've never been with the band on? And he was like,
let me hear it one time.
No problem, man. So he comes in there, and we built up the isolation booth, and we handed him a set of headphones, and it was like, here's the lyrics. And he was like, oh, okay, all right, so we're really doing this. So he walked in there and laid down some stuff, and then came back out, was like, Mark, you know, where's your breath here? What are you doing vocally here? And he said, here's what I got. Go back in there, and next thing you know, a couple of takes, and he had what we would use on the album. And only a guy like George could do something like that. He'd be handed something, literally probably cold turkey or dang near it, and turn around and lay down awesome complimentary vocals to the song Deviate. And so I really dug the fact that he could do that and thanked us for it afterwards. I was like, man, we were kind of left hanging out to dry there, man. You really, you know, you want to come back another day? He's like, nope, as long as you guys are good with what we gave you. And I'm like, I'm stoked about it, you know? Yeah. So he has got a total different feel on vocals than what Mark does. So like the song goes a different direction when he comes in, and we kind of play off their likenesses and their differences at the same time.
The highs and the lows.
Yeah. And so that song pushes Mark. We wrote it right at the gate going, Mark, most of our songs, first of all, we write lyrics and we write music behind it that kind of matches the feel or whatever. That song, we had the cool song and the skeleton and no lyrics injected. So we knew we needed something that had maybe it would push Mark. So right out of the gate, you know, when he starts singing the first line of Deviate, he's in his higher register of what he wants to be, where he's comfortable. And
squeezing
I know
him.
Yeah, and I know it's the Geddy Lee of our band.
Squeezing
the
cojones.
I mean? And so knowing that, I said,
can you say cojones?
Sure.
Okay, that's squeezing the cojones.
So I said, Rick,
you can edit this, right?
All right, I said, man. Yeah, you can edit this. I said, George, Mark's pushing his vocals. What if you come in and just lay down like a midsection or do something contrary? No problem, man. He went in there and laid down Deviate, and it came out beautiful, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah, so.
Let's see.
That's it. Yes, coffee.
Another refill.
And of course, George.
Hey, Mike from Denny's. Shout out to Mike here. He's keeping us fueled coffee wise tonight.
That's right.
Yeah. You're ever in Troy, Missouri at Denny's, hit up Mike.
Oh, boy.
He's like, great, I'm getting a huge tip now.
Yeah, the great thing with having George on the album is our two bands, when they were pre-Dawn Hour and us, we were the new guys coming into it. They were the senior, experienced guys that brought us kind of up into it, you know, and we actually got an opportunity to play more than, you know, a couple shows with them, and it was just a blast to have them on the album.
Yep, definitely.
Cool guy.
Very cool. Well, again, this record will be available.
Cinco de Mayo!
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, you little bingos.
And then, of course, we'll have physical copies at the release party?
Album release party, yep. Yes. We've got a handful. The first order are ordered up, and they will be delivered to my house, I think, in a week and a half now.
If the mailman don't steal them.
If the mailman don't steal them.
On Friday.
So I'll do my best not to let anybody have those, because I CD release party, that's when you can get your copies.
Yeah.
We'll have copies. We'll have new merchandise, too. We got hats being printed up. Sewn up, whatever they do.
Embroidery.
Actually, a buddy of mine, Chris Accord, I got a shout-out to him and his company, Hefe Hats, out of Kansas City, Missouri, is coming up with an order for us. And he's hooked us up. Yeah.
I like Hefe.
He's hooked us up. He's going to come up with some sweet videos of, like, the machine embroidering the hat, the Active Defiance logo.
And this is Russia. The machine.
Yeah, you're going to have to edit this because Mark's gone crazy on us. Anyway, so shout out to Chris for coming up with the hats. We got new merch and all that to complement the album and everything, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, a guy like this at the helm, I mean, you know what you're getting. I mean, you don't know what you're getting here. It's going to be crazy.
Hey, man.
So, anyway, we'll have copies of the album. We flirted with the download card idea, and when the money got tight, we went, nope, we'd rather have raw copies of the album. It's old school, you know?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Do you want a sane, sober guy driving your bus down the street, or do you want him to be a little bit sideways?
And this is when the interview went sideways.
I prefer a sober guy driving me down the street. I don't know about you.
All right, man, I'm going to put you on the spot. Famous, let's go with this one right here. We're going to interview the man that's interviewing us. Your most favorite band at Denny's tonight is?
The only band at Denny's tonight.
That's when he goes, well, actually, I interviewed such and such.
Yeah.
Earlier today.
Oh,
no, he said,
yeah, he'd make sure.
I set him up for not failure.
Yeah, how many Denny's interviews I do today?
13.
All right,
and we're 13
between the hours of 8 and whatever it is now. See, I got him. It's that Milwaukee man. I bet.
Yeah,
oh boy,
Milwaukee.
So, any other points we want to bring up on this album?
Hey, my favorite.
Worked hard on.
So we've got a couple. We also have a guest guitar player that came in, a very talented young man. Sean actually wrote this album while he was off in Columbia at the Fire Academy. The song, Gone. And I know that my wife loves the song. It's very
All the girls like it.
You know, to me, it kind of reminds me of a nice laid-back kid rock song, but that's just me.
I think of like 80s ballad.
Yeah, 80s ballad and
back
stuff
in the day
like
when
that.
A band had to come up with a ballad, it was like a rule back in the day. This one I fought Ben on. Ben was like, man, this is totally left field compared to our album. Well, he didn't say it was terrible. He just said it's left field for the album. He's like, and when we finally had a middle ground, we're sitting at FUBAR, sitting there drawing up doodles of ideas we want for the album cover, and he's sitting there pleading, man, I don't know, it's gone so far different than the rest of our music. And I'm like, but, you know, it really comes from the heart. I wrote it for that reason. I really want to showcase it. We never had an acoustic jam make an album yet for us. So anyway, he finally said, fine, here, I'll draw the line here, okay? We're sitting here going, if you put Gone on the album, put bonus track behind it. I said, fair enough. I'll call it whatever you want, as long as we get it on the album. So Ben said, all right, I'm good with that.
Done deal.
So, and of course, Ben couldn't be here tonight for the interview. He's in Chillicothe, Missouri tonight. But anyway, shout out to Ben.
Ben.
Rock on, man.
But a lot of the ladies that have heard this album, and I've shared it with
for whatever
of
reason,
people,
the ladies
like my sister-in-laws and people like that. I'm like,
family.
That album, mostly. But that album, that song just connects with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very cool.
Clearly heartfelt.
Like, heartfelt.
Literally, I was walking on a Monday morning super early or a Sunday night. I was leaving my house. My little girl,
when
my
you
wife.
Should have been doing push-ups.
My little girl, my wife, I was leaving for Columbia, Missouri, which is, you know, an hour and a half drive for me, to be 5 days in a row.
For me.
5 days in a row.
Red lights on. Gotcha.
He's here for that reason. to go do fire training through Columbia Fire Department's Academy. And so I'm away 5 nights out of 7 from my family. And so I started I don't know why, but it was every day a little piece of that song kind of came to me, and I just kind of ignored it because I was like, I got studying to do, I don't have time. But I did keep my acoustic in the room with me at the apartment I was in. So I was like, man, every night I start strumming it, and I was like, oh, of course, your classic G, C, D chord. I'm like, man, this is so predictable. I'm sitting there writing this ballad that doesn't even fit my band, you know, and I'm sitting going, well, I'll never use this. Well, we played it a few times live, and it never sounded good, and I was like, I'll never play this song live.
But before we played it live, you called me on the phone, yeah. And I was actually off one day, and we were, it was like in the, it was cold, or it's colder. And you said, hey, I got this song I want to kick over
and
by you.
I've been sitting on it for a while.
And you've been sitting it on for a while. Yeah. So I was like, hey, today's the day. I wasn't doing anything.
That's right, you came
so
over.
So I came over to the house, and nobody was at his house. So he pulls out the acoustic guitar, and we start doing it. He shows me his lyrics, and I'm like, oh,
they're
man.
They're done, yeah.
No, you had them, and
right,
I'm like,
they're done.
Dude,
didn't need to do anything. Yep.
Dude, these are, like, sweet.
Yep.
They're awesome. I'm like,
normally I don't give him awesome lyrics to work with.
There was no work I had to do.
Yeah.
I was like, I just
and honestly, gone.
Kind of make a little bit of the melody as we went and
gone. Yeah, I was there struggling. I'm thinking this, and when I sing, he's like, "Oh, that's a stretch. I'll do something with that." But good luck. There's a reason he's our singer.
I said I will sing monotone and make you go to sleep.
You know, compared to a lot of our music, that gone really showcases your vocals.
Everybody
and what you can do, and it's in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Clearly,
and Incipient is too.
Yeah,
that's a strong one in my will. Not even me singing it, but like the people that were sitting out in the audience are like, oh.
Yep. Once you hit that song, you know that you're hitting stride with. And that, for some reason, I was like, Gone's too good to not have it on an album somewhere.
Oh,
I thought, you know, if Ben did win out and was like, hey, don't put it on the album, and we come up with a different sixth song, I wanted to make a single or something down the road, or just release a single for it. Get it out there. We got to get out there. So, anyway, he's making a 3-1 option. But anyway.
Hey!
So, anyway, Gone, yeah, definitely huge. We brought in Austin Burkhead, a buddy of mine,
awesome.
A good friend of mine. He's got a music degree, knows what the heck he's doing with an acoustic. And I said, if we would do this song for an album, I said, it needs to be somebody who can play the acoustic a lot better than me. I said, I'm the power chord, crank up the distortion, electric guitar guy. I said, you can play an acoustic the way it's meant to be played. I said, can you come in and play this real simple song and just make it beautiful? And he's like, yeah, no problem, man. So he came in, jammed it, and I said, well, I'll do you one better. What would be like if you came in and played some of the solo, too? And he was like, I can do that. Cool. So what came forth was Gone. He laid down all the acoustic work. He laid down the second half of the solo. I do kind of like a pre-solo, real smooth, quiet, easy little solo, and I hand him the torch, and he takes off and runs with this awesome solo. And now, actually going forward, Austin's going to be joining our band in the next couple months. So he is a guy that we've not only leaned on for the album, but now we're going to lean on him as
a member of the band.
A member of the band, yeah. So
No Wake has totally recreated itself as we had our bass player. You know, obviously he has to do what's right for his career. You know, unfortunately for us, his career took him almost 2 hours away. So now No Wake has again recreated, reborn, rebirthed.
Yeah, so what Mark's talking about,
I happen to be the PO.
No, that's all right. Yeah, our bass player, Ben, just took a big promotion.
He had to do it.
We needed
it,
so we knew we were looking for a new bass player. We took this opportunity to add Austin Burkhead on electric guitar in the band, and acoustic if we need be. And his best friend, Ryan Gilmore, is going to step up and play bass for us. And the two of them already jive awesome on stage. I've seen them for years. And
they've got a great connection.
Those two guys are going to be filling the void for
you
us.
You two got a great connection, and I'm going to be your crazy driver out front. We do right turn.
We've still got two more shows with Ben Spurgeon on bass, and we're going to go ahead and add Austin with him on stage, which Ben's stoked about because he knew. Back in the day, we had a guy named Alan Ward playing some guitar for us, and it was really nice for me to hand out all the solos, not do all the guitar work. So we've been missing that little piece of the band for a few years now.
You mean the warden?
The warden, Alan Ward.
The warden.
And
shout out to you, warden.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I always said that.
So now we took this opportunity, since we're not just adding a bass player, we're going to go ahead and add our complimentary guitar player. And in a week's time, Austin's just jammed a little bit of our new album on his own, came back to me, I said, add stuff to it, don't just play what I'm playing. Which, the guy said, the music career kicks in, music degree kicks in, and he came to me 2 days ago and showed me what he'd added to it, and I was like, that's awesome, that's going to sound awesome. He knows all his, you know, his scales, his fifths, his ninths, all this stuff. He comes in there and he goes, what about this? And he lays down this cool little moving guitar part on a chorus that I'd never dreamt should have a moving guitar part, and it doesn't take away from what Mark's singing, it adds depth to it. I'm like, now my only regrets for releasing an album where it don't have this stuff on it. But like I said, we did get a chance to get him on Gone. Yeah,
needless
so he's
to
on
say,
Gone.
This
this album release party is going to blow your mind.
Yeah, got a lot of cool stuff going on. Yeah, definitely. So
yeah, well, very cool. Well, again, engage with these guys online. We got Facebook and
noick.com sorry, is our official website.
Yeah,
and then facebook.com/noickmusic is the Facebook page. We got a lot of followers, a lot of people on there that engage with us on there a lot.
Yeah, let them know what you think of these tunes. Definitely. And be sure to come out again, grab your copy at the release party May 13th. Pre-order on iTunes starting on the 28th.
No, on 28th for the
Cinco de Mayo.
And then, yeah.
And then you can actually download it for real.
I think that's a pretty cool.
Me no wacky.
Cinco de Mayo, you give him a date to think about. Say,
capital N, capital O, capital W, capital A.
He can't even spell. He's like, really thinking right now.
Capital E.
I think that's a good idea, though, too, to like kind of get those tunes out a week, you know, let them, people learn them and sing along and come to the party and have a good time with you. So.
Definitely. We got a good crowd in Hannibal. They've always supported us for years. All those bar shows, playing 4 hours, slaving away, and those people, the ones that are still following us on social media, still showing up to shows, buying the merch. They're, you know, they're guys that show up and are rocking the shirt we made back in 07. You're like, oh, my gosh, I remember that design. You know, those are the people that, they're like your roots, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I'm stoked.
What? Yes. Well, I thank you guys for taking some time out and doing this. And I'm ready to chow down on some pancakes.
Pancakes. Grand slam. Thanks for Miami.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Denny's.
Yeah, thank you, Denny's, for allowing us to hang. And
thank you guys.
It's been a good time.
Thanks for having us, Shane. Yeah. Appreciate
it. Very much.
Thanks, guys.
Never see this coming. Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.